It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Zay will let us know. At 1:30, we're talking NFL playoffs. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Paul Wadlington of IT on 3 and the EGAT podcast, as well as the Wadlington and Winslow mortgage team. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two for you on a Thursday. Remember, Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard tonight at 7. Campus location of Pluckers. If you haven't been over there, go check that out. And then Isaiah's got the right call for you at 8, talking all things basketball, including those Texas Longhorns as they try to bounce back from the K-State loss and get ready for Oklahoma State. That game comes up on Saturday. A lot of football on the board today. Also, we're going to hit a little music in about an hour. A couple folks coming in from the Chronicle to talk about their music poll. You know, us music snobs like that stuff. We'll tell you how you can vote and where you can vote on the Austin Chronicle music poll coming up around 2. Right about now, though, we go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline for one of our favorite visits of the week. It is Paul Wadlington, Scipio, Texas, himself from Inside Texas on 3.com and the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. Make sure you grab it wherever you get your podcast. And like Trey mentioned, we're also sponsored, Trey.
That's right. Our weekly Talking Texas Sports and Other Sports segment with Paul is brought to you by the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. Go to Mortgages by Gabe to find out more right now, or just wait until the end of this conversation. I'll tell you more about Wadlington and Winslow. Paul, thank you as always for the time. How you doing today, man?
My pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, Paul, although I do have to admit I wanted to puke the other night when I saw Gary Patterson wearing some gear with a Longhorn logo on it. How did that picture affect you? And overall, what are your thoughts on Gary Patterson now officially being in Austin?
I wasn't traumatized. I wasn't shaken up by it. But yeah, I'm at the point where I'll take on Barry Switzer as an advisor if I feel like it would help Texas win football games. So I'm good with it.
I find it interesting, Paul, that even before, I mean, technically there's not still an official announcement from the university, but the insider sites and some national folks are already putting this out there like it is certainly happening. Interesting, though, that he would throw the logo on before it's official with the university. It was weird. I'll just say, as a third-party observer, to see him in as much purple as I've seen him in rocking that Longhorn logo, that was weird. That was a little bit of like, Mark Teixeira in a Yankees uniform for me. It just didn't look right.
Oh, I think hell hath no fury like a fat gear scorned. I think Patterson has thrown away every purple item in his house, in his wardrobe. I think he threw out all his old Prince album. I think Gary's got a lot of hate in him and a lot of resentment, and he's got that all focused at TCU. And if he's got to help and direct that hate from the University of Texas, I think he's happy to do it.
What is maybe the biggest thing that Gary Patterson brings to the table for this program? Is it the ability to scout opponents? Is the ability to look and see what pieces you're working with and make sure to maximize, though? Is it his ability to develop guys? What are you most optimistic about with him right now?
Well, you know, I think he's being sold as a guy who's going to help take some of the staff management duties and some of the other sort of head coaching auxiliary duties off of Sarkisian. That all said, look, the unit that struggled the most for Texas last year was the defense. And Gary Patterson is a defensive coach. So I don't think it's lost on anyone that you often will bring in someone either as an advisor initially, but who eventually can become the replacement, right? And that happened with Chris Ash and Tom Herman. That's happened before with Mack Brown back in the day with Greg Robinson. Right? I'm just bringing in another voice. It's just a consultant, just another guy to help you. And you know what? That guy is another guy to help you. But if you don't perform, I think it's a way of lining up an option B as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out with Gary Patterson, but that is going to happen. And Paul, and we were talking earlier about the idea of, I guess, almost the balancing of it. There's been discussion about the whole Dick Tomey vibe to this. Do you get that comparison? Does that make sense to you? Timeline-wise, he hangs out for a year, hopefully helps the defense out, and then he's on to another head coaching job. Do you think that's what we're going to see?
Yeah, I don't really know what Gary Patterson wants to do. I really don't. I don't know if he wants to get back into coaching. He seemed like a guy who'd been obsessed with football all of his life, and that was the number one focus in his life. And then over the last couple of years at TCU, I think he started to realize that there's other things in life beyond football. And he'd certainly established himself. He'd certainly built himself a legacy at TCU, literally has a statue in front of the stadium. And I think he started to realize he had other interests. So I think coaches go through a lot of periods of intense focus, burnout, recalibration, renewal. And sometimes that means they coach again. Sometimes that means, you know, they end up as an analyst, or they just go move out to the preferred body of water and enjoy their life.
I, for one, am looking forward to Tuesdays with Gare Bear at the Saxon Pub, where he's doing acoustic covers of Christian hits, Paul.
I'm looking forward to it. I feel like you're the guy that goes and closes your eyes and then lifts both your hands and prays.
Absolutely.
Nailed it.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. No doubt. All right, Paul, on the football side of things, last week you told us about the confidence level of all these San Francisco 49ers folks you were hearing from. Well, I guess they were right, because I'm still trying to process what happened. What's it like out there in Northern California, where now the Niners move on and they'll try to take Aaron Rodgers out of things?
Well, I think their confidence stemmed from one fact. They looked on one sideline and they saw Kyle Shanahan, one of the brightest offensive minds in all of football. And then they looked on the other sideline and they saw Mike McCarthy, a mall cop.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you realize, and when you watch the game, it was not fair. I mean, from a game planning perspective and a game management perspective, it's not clear to me who the better team was in terms of talent. I'd say it's actually still the Cowboys. But in terms of execution, playing hard, and having a plan, it was the 49ers all the way. And yeah, that's unfortunately how the game played out. I mean, the thing is Kyle Shanahan was also playing with one hand tied behind his back, and that, you know, he's secretly terrified of Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo lived up to that. You know, he delivered the goods in terms of terror late in the game by letting the Cowboys back in the game with a turnover. And, you know, but ultimately, Shanahan was able to play his pieces a lot better than McCarthy. And, you know, the Cowboys had 14 penalties in a playoff game. And, you know, if you're surprised by that, they were the most penalized team in the regular season. So, you know, you're probably also surprised by the sun rising in the morning. And then, of course, you saw the end of game management, which was just ridiculous. And for, you know, the Cowboys at first were trying to put it on the official as if they didn't even understand the rule that a ball has to be placed down by the official before you can snap it. I mean, it was just a horrific example of the entire game, which is one staff came ready to play a playoff game and the other staff thought this was, you know, week 7 against Jacksonville.
Paul, with that mall cop metaphor, are you suggesting that Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys will be better off with him on the sidelines next year with a Segway underneath him?
I think he needs a Segway. I think he needs a walkie-talkie. I think he needs some non-lethal means of subduing eighth graders who stand in the mall fountain and throw pennies at him. I think everything's on the table, Trey.
Yeah, he gets about as much respect as a mall cop from his players.
If Mike McCarthy was in his true job, he would be a mall cop featured on TikTok being harassed by an assortment of 13 and 14-year-olds at the Arboretum.
My God. No, I'm sorry I asked as a Cowboys fan. I'm sorry I asked the question.
I'm a Cowboys fan too, but I'm open. I'm looking. I'm getting tired. I'm starting to think that I might, God forbid, become a Buffalo Bills fan just because Josh Allen is part human, part thoroughbred, and all badass.
God, so he does look great right now.
Are you feeling good about the Bills' chances in KC this weekend because Josh Allen is playing so damn good right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I you know, everyone's saying the Chiefs, it's already pencil them in the Super Bowl, but I said the two potential disruptors to me of the AFC are the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the Bengals are a little too banged up, I think, to see through on that promise, but I wouldn't underestimate them. But I really like the Bills. And I like them to, I don't know what the current line is, but I would take those points in KC right now.
Yeah, KC by 2 is what I'm seeing here, Paul.
Whoa! So that's actually aggressive. They're actually saying the Bills are the better team on a neutral field. That's
yep, right.
That's surprising to me. I love Buffalo. I like the matchup that they have for KC. They've got really good safety play, which was in full display against New England. You saw the incredible interception. But that was about as thorough a domination as the Patriots as you'll ever see. And Josh Allen was just phenomenal. I mean, absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, I like Dak Prescott. I root for him. But could you have had a more divergent view of two quarterbacks and their readiness for the big stage in the versus, you know, the 49ers game of Dak and he's skipping balls at receiver's feet or throwing it high and outside? And then Josh Allen, who basically said, yeah, just get on my back and we're going to win this and blow him out. This is easy.
That really did feel like one of those passing of the AFC East torch moments for the Bills this last weekend.
Yeah, I think that they're the team to contend with for the short and medium term future. You know, it's hard to make any predictions in the NFL with the salary cap and all that, but they've got a good base and man, they've got Josh Allen, and that gives you a chance in pretty much any game you play.
If I let you guys only watch one of these four games, is that it? You can't watch
Kansas City Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah. You can't watch
I'm watching Kansas City Buffalo. A distant second is Green Bay San Francisco. And then the other two games I'm mildly interested in, and you know, I'll be working out or doing household chores or something with that game on. But those other two games I'm going to be watching.
Yep.
Number two for me is probably Rams-Bucks. See, I feel like the Green Bay-San Francisco game is going to be a blowout just because Jimmy G, who already doesn't elicit a ton of confidence in Kyle Shanahan, as you've already mentioned, is far from 100% right now. And if Joey Bosa is either out or limited, that hurts them that much more. And Green Bay is a team that I look at as not needing a ton of time to really get back into that form that we saw them in throughout the regular season.
Yeah, so San Francisco's, that's a great observation. And San Francisco not only lost Bosa, who's their best defensive player, they also lost Fred Warner, who's their second best defensive player. And so if those guys aren't healthy, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are going to chew them up. However, Green Bay is not great against the run. And the 49ers have a pretty good history, particularly under Shanahan, of running the ball on Green Bay and being a problem for them. And with Deebo Samuel, who is a freak, I mean, an amazing receiver, and frankly, one of the best running backs in the NFL if you just wanted to do that full time, I think Shanahan's going to pull out all the stops, try to control the ball with the running game, and then, you know, beg Jimmy G not to throw the game away. So, yeah, it could get out of hand pretty quickly because that game plan falls apart if Green Bay jumps out 14-0 right off the bat. But if they can hang in there and get a couple of stops, the game could be more competitive.
Talking with Paul Wadlington, check out InsideTexas.com, On3.com, and of course, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. So, Paul, in the Rams-Bucks game, I think it comes down to protection. Do you think the Bucks, because they got a couple guys hurt on that offensive line, but even if they played, they'll be, you know, a little bit limited maybe and tested there at center and right tackle. Do you think they can protect Brady enough from Donald and that defense?
Yeah, problems at center, not a good deal for when you have Aaron Donald coming in. If your center's perfectly healthy and in the Pro Bowl, you're still going to have problems with Aaron Donald. Yeah. So I think, look, Tom Brady understands what's going on. He understands who's going to be lined up in front of him. The real battle to me is Tom Brady's ability to get the ball out quickly and on time to the Buccaneers receivers. So I think a lot of it's going to be about communication, throwing it to spots, and trusting that the receiver is going to be there. So the Rams, in turn, have to do some things to disrupt that timing and those routes, because I don't think they can just count on the pass rush getting there. Tom Brady's pretty experienced, and I think he's going to get the ball out real, real fast.
Yeah, he's played a few. I mean,
he's played a game here or there.
It's been there. And, of course, this is an advantage from what they had earlier in the year. They were at the Rams earlier in the year. They get this one at home to be able to make all those calls.
Hey, Paul.
No one can just stroll into the sombrero and counting on getting a win, Chad.
That's right. Exactly.
No, definitely not. Paul, wanted to end with the Longhorn question this week. The basketball team is struggling more than I expected them to through the first 3 weeks or so of conference play. What are your thoughts on this team right now? Are you souring on them a little bit based on these few games, or are you still putting full confidence in Chris Beard, traditionally having his teams playing much better basketball in February and March than even in January?
I think the latter, and also I think long-term, I think Beard has he's gonna work out at Texas. I think the short-term problem is you have a team that's trying to still cohere. You've got a bunch of transfers and guys, and frankly, you know, not to call out one guy, but Marcus Carr is just not my preferred style of point guard. You know, I think he earned his accolades in the Big Ten basically being a volume shooter, and basically, you know, scoring a lot at a low efficiency level. He's not particularly athletic. He's just prolific. And, you know, his Minnesota teams were pretty bad. And so, you know, the thought, they sort of built him up as this premier point guard, but I don't think he's the kind of point guard that's going to elevate other teammates. And I think he can often be a liability on defense. So he's not a true creator. You know, he is not cut from the TJ Ford or even the DJ Augustine mold. And absent that, it's hard to make all these other component parts play well together.
That is Paul Wadlington. Check out InsideTexas.com on 3.com and get that Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. Wherever you grab your podcast, he is Scipio Text to Some. We just get to call him Paul. Paul, thank you so much for the time, man. Enjoy those games, and we'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Good
Thanks,
stuff Paul. There. Trey, tell them all about it.
That's right. The Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team sponsors our weekly chats with Paul. Right now, we're in the middle of an unprecedented low interest rate environment, and the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team would love to help you capitalize on that, whether you're looking to purchase your dream home or you want to refinance your current home. How happy are folks in the Austin area with Gabe and Paul? How about this review from Andrew and Leander? Quote, Gabe and Matt are the best. I've purchased and refinanced. Gabe and Matt. Gabe and Paul are the best. I've purchased and refinanced a few homes and have never had a better experience than I did with Wadlington and Winslow. They made my recent refinance incredibly easy and painless. They went above and beyond to resolve a survey issue I had that anyone else would have put on me to get fixed. It feels good to have this team turn to the next time I'm looking for a refinance in Leander. Find out for yourself why the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team is beloved by their clients, including that 98.9% closing success rate, by calling them at 832-557-1095. That's 832-557-1095, or reach out at mortgagesbygabe.com. That's mortgagesbygabe.com. The Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team.
Gabe Winslow Mortgage Broker, NMLS number 1613381. C2 Financial, NMLS number 135622.
Coming up, we'll take a look at those division round games, including the injury report. Good news or bad news for those guys on the Niners? We will tell you on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Like it. Along, minding my own business. Uh-oh. Well, there goes a girl and a half. She's got me going
up and down. She's got me going up and down. You got this one? I do not.
I do not. I like it. I just don't have it. Isaiah, what do you got?
The Stranglers. Peaches.
The Stranglers? Well, I got the notion, girl, what are we talking about year-wise on the Stranglers?
70s, I want to say.
Okay. I've never heard of that
it's
band.
A good sound.
It's a really good sound. It's got a little, I mean, there's certainly kind of a funk element to it, but it's also, it's got like the right amount of griminess to it.
Yeah, a little creepy.
Yeah, exactly. A little scary, a little dirty. I like it.
Yeah, I don't think they made it because Homeboy couldn't sing. He just talked through songs, so.
How dare you? How dare you accuse him
you
of
know,
that?
Bruce Springsteen has made a career out of that.
There it comes. You know what? As you say, as I was listening to the beginning of it, it almost sounds like a spoken word Mick Jagger coming out of him.
Yeah, there is a little bit of Mick in that voice.
A little bit of that kind of attitude coming out of him. The Stranglers. All right, I got to check that out. Isaiah Collier producing, which means it could go a lot of places in with music. We've had Modest Mouse. We've had the Mohawks. I think he's just trying to taunt us there. And we've got the Stranglers. If Isaiah later on plays a song called Goofy White Dudes with Stupid Haircuts, then we're going to know that he's talking about us. Trey's got to wear the Mohawk coming up, and I may have to, unless I can make an aggressive move on Isaiah this week in the divisional round. Isaiah's got Where We At in Society coming up. And at 2 o'clock, speaking of music, we're going to music snob out on you a little bit. Rachel Rasko and Sarah Wolf from The Chronicle are going to come join us to talk about the Austin Chronicle music poll. We talked about a lot of different things with Chronicle folks, from food to entertainment to whatever. This is the music poll. We will tell you that you can vote
You go to vote.austinchronicle.com. You got to have everything done by the 31st. If you're going to go old school and actually fill it in the Chronicle and mail it in, I don't know if anybody still does that, you have to be postmarked by January 31st.
That's right. So you have a little bit more than a week now.
Not bad. Not bad there.
So I'm going to be honest. I have not heard of a large majority of the bands in this poll.
I did.
There's usually like one or two in each of the categories.
I did feel a little old looking at the list. Yeah.
New music is a young person's game.
It really is. Even when you and I do try to keep up a little bit, yeah, we have fallen way behind, apparently, when it comes to that list. That'll come up at 2 o'clock. Right now, though, we will remind you, it is a busy basketball night. Got to have the discussion with Chris Beard at 7. Isaiah's got the right call for you at 8. So if you love your hoops, tonight is your night. Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard at 7. Get on out to Pluckers, the campus location for that one, as they talk about trying to bounce back from the K-State loss. And then Zay has the right call for you. There'll be Longhorn basketball in there, but also NBA and other stuff. Zay, anything special for tonight's show that you need to let the people know about?
Turns 8 o'clock. I might rip the Texas basketball team.
You might.
Not as hard as you would think. But
okay.
We'll see.
You got to be real.
You got to keep it real.
You got to keep it real. That's a 3-3 conference team. That's not what a lot of people thought. So maybe they need a little realism right now.
Yeah. Shout out to Paul putting Marcus Carr in the same category as TJ Ford and DJ Augustine. That's part of the problem. That's part of the problem.
That's part of the issue.
That's part of the issue.
Okay. All right.
I love Paul. Great job. But TJ Ford, DJ Augustine, DJ's still playing. He's 5'10". He's one of the greatest players to ever touch the floor on the 40 acres. Tough comparison. Tough shoes to fill, Marcus Carr.
Tough. That's a high bar.
So, you think?
That's a high bar. All right, so as we get into the NFL division stuff, let's get you some of the injury reports. We left off with Paul talking about the Niners game and with the Packers. And, Trey, you asked me earlier about Nick Bosa. So here's your update that I'm reading from the Wednesday practice reports. He was limited but listed on the practice report. So Tuesday he wasn't listed at all. Yesterday, he was listed as limited with, of course, the concussion. And the word out of San Francisco is that it is good news he's on the report. Also, earlier in the week on KNBR, his dad said he would be good to go and would play. So if you believe in Bosa's dad.
I would be shocked if he didn't play this weekend. Now, his effectiveness, I guess, is another question, but he's going to do everything he can to help San Francisco win this game. And obviously, his presence is going to make at least a little bit of a difference because you're more confident about getting that organic pressure on Aaron Rodgers. It's just that Rodgers is so good. How much does it matter?
Yeah, no, that's
fair. We'll find out.
That is fair. More good news for San Francisco. Guys that did fully participate in practice include Garoppolo with the shoulder and the thumb, Dre Greenlaw with the groin injury, Elijah Mitchell with a knee, full practice, and this one's big, Fred Warner with that ankle, full participant in practice. That could be big if Fred Warner is able to go.
So Fred Warner was cleared, I want to say, on Monday. So to hear that he is maybe still a little bit iffy was a bit surprising for me. Again, he's another guy like Bosa that even if he wasn't cleared until the weekend, I fully expected him to get the go-ahead by Sunday.
He's definitely well...
Or by Saturday.
Yeah, well on track to do that as a full participant now. Some of the other games, Bengals and Titans. Man, Tennessee looks pretty clean here. I don't see a whole lot that would be too bothersome. Obviously, they're trying to get Derrick Henry back. We mentioned it, full practice and contact. Earlier in the week, I really don't see a big-time name here. Tart and Jones on the defensive line, one limited, one full practice, and full practice for Buster Skrine, the cornerback.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly, full practice, though. That's all they're listing. Then for the Bengals, Trey Hendrickson, the D-end, concussion, limited practice, limited for...
I didn't realize he had gotten concussed versus Vegas.
See, and I guess I hadn't either. I didn't realize that. I'm glad I looked that one up.
He played a good game, too. That must have happened at some point in the fourth quarter.
Josh Tupoy on the defensive line, a knee injury. He was limited in practice. Elsewhere, full practice for Jalen Davis, Mike Hilton, and Sam Hubbard. So no massive names for Cincinnati. That is good news. As far as, what was the other one? Oh, as far as Green Bay's side of that game, Marquez Valdez-Scantling did not practice yesterday with a back injury. Maybe one to keep an eye on.
He has been limited practice-wise for much of the last 2 months, and I know he missed some games at the end of the regular season. He's another guy that I'd be surprised if you didn't see him trying to go in some capacity, even if he uses a bit of a decoy as Aaron Rodgers turns more to Davante Adams, obviously. And then also Alan Lazard, the former Iowa State product, has really come on over the last few weeks.
Aaron Rodgers with the toe, full practice throughout the week, no issues there. Mercedes Lewis, they're resting him. There is no injury.
It's incredible he's still playing.
Oh, my God. No injury in that situation. And then for the Bucks-Rams game, I am not seeing, Trey, anything about the linemen for Tampa. I do see Brashad Perryman listed as did not practice yesterday. They are going to need one of those secondary receivers, like you've talked about, step up. So if he can't go, that's big. Limited practice for Giovanni Bernard, that could be important for the Bucs as well. And these two names for the Rams are not big. Brandon Powell, the wide receiver, and Buddy Howell, the running back. Limited for one, didn't practice on the other one, but no massive names there. So as we get to tomorrow and the last show of the week, we will be double-checking those Tampa Bay offensive linemen. That really ends up being a big critical element of that game. Jensen, the center, and obviously Wirfs, the right tackle, both high-level guys. If one or both can't go, that changes that game.
Yeah, now that both of those 49ers defenders seem like they're going to be playing, it does become all about the two Tampa offensive linemen. If they're without them, then I will for sure be picking the Rams to win that game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Bucs would try to attack that too. How much running are you going to be able to do? Do you believe enough in Vaughn to give you something? Do you actually give him those carries? If Bernard can't go, what do you do? Is Fournette going to be able to go? That's another thing we'll check on tomorrow to see where it is. Fournette was, I believe, earlier in the week, Fournette was able to practice a little bit, kind of limited maybe practice. I know I did read that those offensive linemen were spending time with the trainer during practice. So that is going to be a big issue in that ball game. But division round coming up Saturday and Sunday.
We need to see a significant upgrade out of Wirfs. Otherwise, his presence on the field, if he looked like he did for those few plays after he tried to come back, like, you're better off going with somebody else. That's how limited he was in terms of his movement after suffering the injury.
I was so baffled as to why he was back in that game.
Yeah, because at that point, he's not even helping you. All you're doing is risking the injury becoming much more serious.
Yeah, because I couldn't understand what's the logic there? We want to try it out? That's what practice is for.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you putting him back in a game where you're destroying the opponent?
Over-under with Tampa LA right now is 48. I'd probably take the under on that. I hate taking unders, but I feel like the under is what's going to hit with these two teams. I think the defenses have the advantage with both sides, even with Tom Brady at quarterback, especially if those linemen are hurt.
You're thinking it might be like, and it's going down as far as like Brady against the Rams in the Super Bowl. You going that far? Like 13-3? Is it going to be that low?
Not that low, but I could see it settling, like the final score settling somewhere between 42 and 46.
I could see it being a game like Cowboys-Niners where 24 wins the game, 23-24.
I think it does.
Something like that.
So yeah. if 24 wins the game, then you're falling short of 48.
Yeah, you're right. That would be right under that total. Tampa by 3, KC by 2. Green Bay by 6 and Tennessee by 3.5. No shock that all the home teams are favored this week.
What do the Bengals need for Tennessee to win this game? Or for Cincinnati to win this game, rather?
I think they need
Joe Burrow to look like the Joe Burrow that we've seen for most of the last month now. A little bit better of an effort out of Joe Mixon in terms of running the football. I don't know if this game necessarily turns into a shootout, but I could see it being a slightly higher scoring affair versus Tampa in L.A.
I mean, my gut says triplets is what they need. It's those three guys. They need Burrow, Mixon, and Chase to be elite. They need them to be great in that ball game. And then also, I mean, that Tennessee team, they're not beautiful, and they're not going to draw you to a TV if you don't already love football. So you just got to block and tackle. And they are gonna get on that offensive line, defensive line, and they're gonna come after you. So the Bengals' offensive line to me is also a key factor because the defensive front for Tennessee can get nasty.
Mm-hmm.
If they make a kind of game where Ryan Tannehill doesn't even need to be great, oh man, then you're really in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got to play a game with Tennessee to make Tannehill be the guy. And by the way, he's proven he can beat you sometimes.
Yeah.
But you got to do that, because if you let Derrick Henry and that defense beat you, you're done.
Well, it's much easier for him now, too, even though Deontay Foreman did a fine job filling in for Derrick Henry up to this point. Ryan Tannehill has been excellent off of play action these last few seasons because teams are having to put so much stock into stopping Derrick Henry. So the mere motion of giving him the football opens so much for Tannehill downfield. Now that he has his top two receivers back with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, obviously, I think it's going to be closer than Green Bay, San Francisco, but I could see the Titans winning this one fairly handily, too.
It's also boils down to just how much. I can't imagine you put Derrick Henry in with like a pitch count of any type, right? Like, do you just let him go and pretend like it's a normal day?
I mean, that's a great question. Yeah, probably.
Because they got him.
It's do or die time.
They got him some contact this week, and you're trying to build up that scarring as much as you can. But he doesn't have true running back scarring right now. Like, you want the positive stuff, right? The game speed, game getting hit. But he's Derrick Henry,
right?
He's bigger than most of the guys that are gonna. Pretty much all the guys that are gonna try to tackle him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you? I would not limit him unless he told me he wanted it. I'm assuming what he will tell them is, hand me the ball and get out of the way.
Yeah, I was about to say, he ain't going to be telling you that.
So that's where that game swings a lot on that. Also, for the Bengals side of it, can they get either Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins some big moments? Because I feel like when the Bengals are really on, that secondary receiver, it's kind of like the Bucs discussion because they need those guys too. Can Higgins or Boyd make some big catches? Can Burrow dial those moments up? Because I like this Tennessee defense, man. Especially their DBs. They can cover. So you got to find matchups that you can win with.
Remember, T. Higgins went over 1,000 yards on the year. He was overshadowed because Ja'Marr Chase was so good as a rookie, but he is more than capable to step up and make plays for this team. And Tyler Boyd is too. I mean, he's the third option now, obviously, but this is a guy who, before Ja'Marr Chase got here, was the number one dude. So I expect all three to put forth the maximum efforts, just whether or not Joe Burrow is going to have the time to throw at times.
Got a texter saying Brady's going to dink and dunk you to death, and you just have to be the best team on that day. Yes, indeed. We'll see who the best team is on Saturday and Sunday to go to the championship round.
What Troy Aikman was talking about with CeeDee Lamb only getting one catch in the game, that is something Tom Brady's really good at. Seeing exactly what a defense is doing and communicating with his wide receiver what needs to happen for them to have that open look that he can hit pretty easily.
Yeah, if the Rams single cover Mike Evans all day long, Brady's not going to throw him one ball. There's not going to be one catch at the end of the day.
I see. He's going to throw it to him a bunch, but if the guy covering him is Jalen Ramsey for most of that time, it's still going to be a battle. That's not as much of an automatic as would usually be the case.
That is true. We'll see how it all plays out in the divisional round. More of that coming up. Also, some music talk coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll tell you how you can vote in the Austin Chronicle Music Poll. Up next, it's Where We At in Society. Isaiah Collier. We'll see what he's got for us today. Maybe some more reports from the wedding and all the people that were leaving and the grades like we got earlier. I enjoyed that. We'll see. Coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
This has spooky white chick written all over it, Chad.
You think so? Isaiah, is he right?
Yeah, she's a little creepy. Especially this video. Wow.
Who is this? You know?
I don't have it. Who is it?
Debbie Harry.
No.
Yeah. Oh, she's definitely spooky white chick. It sounded a little bit like her when she was doing the chorus.
I would not have figured that one out. That's her on the little bit of the lower range there. I'm used to her getting up high with all the Blondie stuff. All right. Debbie Harry. Go ahead. Definitely a cool spooky white chick.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those that I feel like in the heyday, like they had security for her. I don't know if she needed it. That's the kind of person I think. I think if somebody comes at her in like a weird autograph circumstance or whatever, I think she would have had like their arm pinned behind their body and been throwing them against the wall before the security even got there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Debbie Harry always struck me. bit of a tough, because remember Blondie came out of a the punk tradition.
Yeah.
Like Blondie was a very popular band, but I think she'd been through some stuff. I think she'd been in some rough venues before.
Agreed.
She dealt with a fan or two that might try to jump on stage or whatever. So shout out to Debbie Harry. Good stuff there. We've had the Stranglers. By the way, our man Tennis Tom says the Stranglers were a popular college alternative 80s band. Their big college hit was Skin Deep, and their big album, which I owned, was what does this say? Aureal Sculpture?
Okay.
It's a wacky name for an album. All right. So there you go. Our man Tom knows the Stranglers, who Isaiah played earlier. He also played the Mohawks and Modest Mouse today. And coming up, we'll talk more music with Rachel Rasko and Sarah Wolf of the Austin Chronicle. Remember, you can go to the Chronicle's website, vote.austinchronicle.com, to vote on the Austin Chronicle music poll. Or you can go old school, get the hard copy, go to page 41, fill it out yourself, send it in a self-addressed stamped envelope. No, you don't have to do that. You can send it in, though, by January 31st. We will talk to them about the music poll coming up. Right now, though, we got Where We At in Society with Zay. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, Isaiah, you are now officially a married man. You've had the party. You've had the event. You're almost a week in. How are you?
Feels good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Feels good. Feels natural?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real natural.
Now, obviously, since I was at the ceremony, I saw you guys exchange the rings. Were you not wearing the ring up to now, up to that point?
No, I was wearing the ring, but okay. I was wearing this, whatever this material's made out of, but it's not the gold band.
Oh. Oh, so you got like an every...
Is it like a silicone ring or something?
Yeah, that's it. Silicone.
Oh, you got the everyday ring. And then you got the going out ring.
Yeah, like I was with Roger Wallace this Tuesday. I wore the going out ring.
Aha. There you go.
Good move.
There you go. That's right. You got to catch Zay every Tuesday on KBVO, those high school basketball games at night. He's hanging out with Roger Wallace doing those games, so check him out.
So that's an every Tuesday thing now.
Nah, they got a sub for me since they got a girls game coming on, Cedar Park versus, I don't know who they're playing, but they're subbing me out. I'm off a week.
Oh,
come back in 2 weeks.
Oh, because you told them, I'll do games, but girls basketball isn't basketball. Is that what it was that you said?
I didn't say that. I was actually hyped about the women's game. I felt like they kind of stiffed me on this one because they didn't know.
They assumed.
Like, okay. Oh, Zay, he's not very versatile. He can't do no women's game.
They're like,
come on now.
Trey always talks about how much porn this guy watches. We can't have that coming up at a girls game.
Wow. See, that could be your fault. You might have put that in print. You might have imprinted that into their mind.
If that's my fault, Zay, I apologize.
Appreciate it, Trey. I appreciate that.
All right, Zay, what we got today?
All right, fellas. Y'all ready to feel a little creeped out?
Sure.
Always.
All right, well. Which makes a lot of sense because one of our favorite shows, Trey, is You, the Netflix series where the dude is a stalker. The main character is basically a stalker.
And serial killer,
but you somehow fall in love with his character. I don't know how that works. But Apple AirTags are being used to track people and steal cars. Now, an Apple AirTag isn't much bigger than, I would say, the face of a watch.
Okay.
Real quick, what is an Apple AirTag?
So it's basically like a tracking device that you could use to find things. So if I lose something, I could put maybe a tracker on it, and then my phone will help me find it. So
like you put one in your bag or something?
Yes.
Just in case you miss... Okay.
Yeah, something like that. So people are, criminals are using that to put into or under people's cars in different places or in their bags to track their way home and to follow them home. Luckily, Apple is somehow finding that, you're being tracked. So you'll get a message from your phone from Apple saying, hey, there's a tracking device in your area.
Wow.
And then you can find it. And people have said they've been tracked for 14 hours. One woman said that she was tracked for 4 hours. But yeah, no idea who is tracking you, but absolutely terrifying.
That's creepy on a couple of different levels. Obviously, the surface level of creepiness is that somebody is using that technology to try and exploit you in some way, shape, or form. But the fact that Apple can figure that out and then contact you is an extra level of creepy.
Yeah, it's all creepy. That is all creepy. The only way that technology should ever be used is in a G.I. Joe episode if a member of Cobra has kidnapped an innocent person and a member of the Joe team is throwing that device under the car so they can then track them and go get the person back.
Mm.
That's what it's for, or cop shows or cop movies. It's not for that. You see somebody with a badass car and you throw the tag on it so you can follow them later to go get the car? That's cold-blooded.
Well, I assume parents are doing that with their young children, too.
Oh, sure.
Like putting the tag in a backpack or in their underwear or something.
That stuff's been going on a long time with the kids and you're some kind of a GPS that you're putting in, like you said, the bag, you're getting it in the car, but that's different too.
Like a little microchip under their skin.
Yeah, like we've got an app that we use that tells me where my daughter's phone is,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, but there's an obvious reason for that. It's not like this. Is there a particular place this is happening, or is it just all over?
All over.
All over.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if it's like Trey said, it's kind of good news that Apple might let me know I'm being tracked, but then that's kind of spooky too, right?
Now, well, it's just a running joke at this point for anybody who has a phone nearby, and you say something, and then all of a sudden the next time you pick up your phone and look at it, you're staring at an ad for something related to a conversation you've just had.
Yeah.
Like that happens regularly.
That's scary. That is spooky. That is absolutely spooky. All right, so is the idea...
Sorry for the porn ads on your phones coming up, boys.
Yeah, way to go. Thank you so much. So what can we do, Isaiah? Is there anything you could do to, like, prevent this?
So they talked to a cop that was on the video that I was watching, and he just said, once you get the alert, don't go home, go to the police station.
Oh, I see. That would make sense, right?
Yeah, and it's even hard for them to find certain ones in a car. Like, people have put them behind license plates. People have, like, taken apart a vehicle and put them in places that nobody will be able to get to unless they're a mechanic or something. So,
like the back of a Volkswagen?
Yeah.
What?
Continue.
No, that's it. I don't really know what to say after that.
Oh, my God. Fantastic. All right, just there you go. I don't know what to tell you there other than be freaked out by that fact, the air tags and the cars. My goodness. All right, there you go, Isaiah, and where we at in society. Up next, let's talk some music with Rachel and Sarah from the Austin Chronicle, because the Austin Chronicle music poll is out there for you to start 2022. We will tell you how you can vote coming up, and we'll get their thoughts on the music scene right now. Also coming up at 2:30, why January 20th matters to us, including a couple of big birthdays and definitely a food day that we need to talk about. It is going to make you hungry. Coming up on the Horn.